How many of you feel loved this morning? Amen. How many of you feel like that you've at least been able to give some thanks back to God that maybe you haven't done in a while? We need to be intentional about giving God our thanks, about just being just all about Him. So many times, so many distractions happen in life, and they can just pull us away from just that abiding in His presence. And I know life happens, but life is really being in God's presence. Amen. You're created for more. This morning, the subject is prayer. You're created for more prayer. Pastor, you've been drumming on that for the last couple of weeks. When are you going to graduate and get out of that? Well, when we're our church of prayer. Because that's what Jesus said His Father's house would be, is a house of prayer. And so we need to learn what it is. In fact, the disciples needed to learn, and that's what they asked Jesus as He came back from praying in a certain place. Lord, teach us to pray. I mean, that was something that was not in their everyday life as fishermen, as tax collectors, as the things that they were prior to Jesus Christ calling them into this close relationship with Him, to be His disciples, to be His followers. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us how we can have that conversation with God that you seem to have that seems to be missing in our lives. Teach us to pray as John taught his disciples how to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Is that the real longing of your heart? Because to pray is to hold a conversation with God. Bottom line, that's all it is. Now, would it be fair to say, because these studies have been out there that proclaim that women speak a minimum of 25,000 words a day, whereas men only speak about 12,000. So women converse twice as long as men do. And the men in the crowd said, the ones who are really brave, they said amen. Some of you said that cowering, hoping that you weren't going to get hit. My wife dared not come up here and smack me because her mother is holding her back. But we are created for more prayer. Jesus taught about this. This is one of His favorite subjects, is how to converse with the Father. I mean, it's His desire that you and I would just have this love for prayer. A love to just spend time with the Father. And I'm sorry, but I have not gotten along well with just speaking my mind and then leaving the room. Suzanne, for some reason, seems to want to follow me outside the room and keep the conversation going. And I'm like, hey, I've already said my piece. I'm done. And yet, that's the way so many of us treat God. Oh, we might be so religious enough to maybe get down on our knees, maybe even be prostrate. In fact, I loved Lindo Cooley this week. I went to the Thursday night worship time at Living Waters, and I really appreciated his teaching on the fact that maybe the Muslims do have it over us Christians as far as their posture before God. Because the Muslims, they get out their prayer rugs three times a day. They get out their prayer rugs and they do this. They get in this posture. They put their prayer rug down. Okay, imagine my prayer rug down here. I'm not Muslim. But they put their prayer rug down and then they put their hands like this and their heads go down and they start praying to God in this form. The interesting thing that Lindell Cooley pointed out about that is that in that position, prone on your face with your head down between your arms, is the only time that your heart is closer than your head to God. Think about that. In fact, that's what was on the Bible study this past Wednesday, is being face down before God, a practice that still needs to be around today. And I would say very much so. And even prescribe it in that method that we need to be. Are there woodpeckers out here? That we need to be with our heads lower than our hearts and presenting our hearts to God. Just saying. Created for more prayer. Jesus taught, and these are his words. If I had more red ink, this would all be in red ink. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. Would you read this with me, please? It's inside your bulletin. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. The Greek word for hypocrites, hypocrites. Hypocrites means actors, those who want to put on a show. And that's what Jesus is describing here. For they love to pray standing in synagogues or on the street corners to be what? Seen by men. It's as if they were acting in a play. Almighty God, oh, I am so righteous, so holy. Oh, and you are more righteous and holy than I. Oh, Lord, may your ears beseech the petitions that I will raise unto you. And they go on and they go on in great oration. And God is going, oh, I hope he gets done pretty soon. God doesn't want actors. He wants your heart. You got to think about who is this that you are addressing. Maybe that would help more of you in your prayer time. I don't know. But if you put a vision of who it is that you're praying to, then maybe some of these attacks that happen during your prayer time wouldn't be there. If you would actually start concentrating on who is it that you are addressing. This is the God of all gods. This is Almighty. This is a creator of all of our systems and even our own lives. This is a God who would dare sacrifice his own son that you and I might have a personal relationship with him. God has invited you, each and every one of us. God has invited us to have a personal relationship with him. I love that Lyndall Cooley happened to agree upon that very point. It's what I've been stressing here for so long, is that God has invited you to have a personal, walking, talking relationship with him. You know, when Paul says pray continuously, he means be in conversation with God all throughout your day. Don't just go into one place and have your prayer time and then ignore God for the rest of the day. God wants your attention all day long, as Lionel Richie would pray or sing. Don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues on street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. And there are those people that, oh, that was such a glorious prayer. Oh, good job. Boy, that man is so religious. He's able to just talk with God with such eloquence. They've got their reward. But when you pray, and this is Jesus speaking, but when you pray, what is he saying to us? When you pray, do what? Go into your room. Close the door and pray to your Father who is on scene. Basically, what's the idea that Jesus is trying to get across to us here? Intimacy. Get away from the distractions. Get away from those things that would try to rule your mind and your heart. Turn the TV off. What? Pastor, you're really stretching it, man. Turn the TV off. Get alone with God. And don't just blurt out what's on your heart and your mind. Listen. If all I ever did to Suzanne was just blurt out what was on my mind and never listened to her, how long do you think we wouldn't be married for almost 44 years now? I trust that would not happen. Because she would want to get her peace of mind in there, and the peace of her mind is in speaking to me. How many times do we close God off from speaking to us? Simply because we won't give him the time. And we think, I've got to be someplace and I've got so many things going on. And you know what? Quiet yourself down. God will multiply your time. If you will give God the first fruits of your day, the rest of your day will flow. And how will it flow? It'll flow in the power of his presence in your life because you bothered to stop and put him there first. Woo! Pastor Harry, how am I doing? Am I on it right now? Okay, so here are some prayer examples not to follow. And what are those? Number one. Don't pray to be seen only, don't forget that word in there. Don't pray to be seen only by men. You see, some people have the wrong theology. They don't think we should pray out loud in a crowd. Some people, that's only for those who are highly educated. No, it isn't. No, it's for those who are highly intimate with God. Those are the ones that you're going to hear pray in a crowd. You know how I can tell if you're intimate with God or not? You're ready to fall into prayer at almost any time. That's how I know whether you're intimate with God or not. And I hurt for you when you're not. It pains me that so many people, they just don't spend any time. Don't pray to be seen only by men. Second.
Hello, is anybody out there? Point number two.
It begins this way. Do not pray only. Right. Don't pray only in public and never in private. Otherwise, you become that hypocrite that Jesus talks about here. Oh, you're praying only in public, I see. Well, yes, I want everyone to be impressed by my prayer life with God. Now, let God be impressed with your prayer life, and then he will put you before others. When you have become in touch with God's heart, then he will help you help others be in touch with his heart as well. You cannot go where you have not journeyed, and you cannot take others there unless you've journeyed there. I have never climbed Granite Mountain. You hear me, Don? How many times have you climbed Granite Mountain? About five times. So if I'm going to climb Granite Mountain, what am I going to do? I'm going to call up Don. Brother Don, I need a guide. Will you be my Sherpa? Will you help me? And Brother Don would say, I'm sorry, I'm playing softball. Do not pray only in public and never in private. And the last point, example not to follow. Do not pray unfelt. Do not pray unfelt or make empty petitions. Those are unfelt petitions. They're empty petitions. Sometimes some people have this mentality that God's time just needs to be taken up by us, just, you know. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And may angels watch me during the night. You know, and we pray rote prayers instead of prayers that are really from our hearts. You know, those prayers that we learned as children were to just teach us the art of prayer. But God wants us to grow up past that beginning art of prayer. And he wants us to be so intimate with him that we are at the ready to thank him even for the bad stuff that comes our way. What? Pastor, you just went off the interstate, man. No. No, I'm going down the main road right now. Because it's when the trials of life really come hard at you that you truly need to be in prayer. And asking God, Lord, this is a really tough thing I'm going through right now. Can you give me your insight? Can you teach me, Lord, how to pray through this? What am I supposed to be learning? Open up my eyes, open up my heart so that I can see how your hand is working in this. Don't pray unfelt or make empty petitions. God is great, God is good, and I thank him for this food. Amen. Is your heart really in that? No. It's a nicety. It sounds good. But is your heart really in it? Are you really thanking God? Well, you could be. You could be. I'm not ruling that out. But don't make vain, unfelt, empty petitions to God. You think those prayers are going to get heard anyway? Think of this. You are in a very tight squeeze. Maybe you're going down the road, and maybe you're in a northeaster, like the people back east, and all of a sudden your car just starts going sideways. What's the prayer you're going to throw out right away? Help me, Lord, right? That's an earnest prayer. Amen? I mean, that one's heartfelt. Oh, Lord, this is good. Woohoo! Haven't seen that before. Wow, all the years I've driven down this route. Man, I didn't know those trees were over there. Hope they don't come through my windshield. God wants heartfelt prayers, folks, not just empty things. Prayer examples to follow. Number one.
Hello, this is a test.
Number one. Corey, stand up and lead the people in that, would you please? Prayer examples to follow.
Seek to be seen and heard by God alone.
There you go. Thank you, Corey. Obviously, you guys need a choir director. Seek to be seen and heard by God alone. That doesn't mean that we don't share prayer requests. Sometimes we need to have others intercede for us when we're going through. You know, your life was meant for relationships. That's why there's church today. Your life is meant for relationships. You're not meant to just go through this Christian life by yourself. That's why you meet together with other Christians. You kind of look around and go, well, okay, there are some other people chosen by God besides me. And guess what? I can trust them with praying for me. I have a need. Sometimes it feels like the ceiling is brass and your prayers are not getting through. And sometimes you just need to meet together with someone else to help get the ear of God. Because there is power when two or three are gathered together in His name and they pray together. But no, we live in Prescott Valley. Prescott Valley's for cowboys. We travel alone. We travel by ourselves. It's better that way. That way I don't have to answer to you. I'm not accountable to you. I can just go rope cows all by myself and brand them alone. But that's the mentality that we fight here. There are so many people who think that they're just individuals, that this is just their life, that they don't need to share it with anybody. Well, I'm already married. I share my life. You know, no. Men, you need to share your life with other men. That's why we afford you opportunities to come here to men's Bible study on Tuesday mornings. Why we have a prayer time here on Wednesdays at noon to 1. Why we have a women's Bible study and prayer time so that women, you can come and you can share. You know, it's not a disgrace if you have a need. It is not a disgrace if you have a need. I thought I better throw that out twice because the first time it just kind of whoop. Second time, hopefully it'll hit somewhere and then trickle into your ear. It's not ungodly to have a need. What's ungodly is if you have a need and you don't feel like you're getting a breakthrough with God, to not share it with someone else, that they might come alongside of you and help strengthen you, maybe even have a word of God for you. That's what we're here to do. We're here to strengthen each other, to build each other up, to encourage one another. And yet so many of you think that you're going to be condemned. Or you're porcupines, you're not teddy bears. That anybody that gets close to you, you're going to put out a spine. You know, oh, stay away. I'm by myself. I'm good. I'm strong in myself. You're not supposed to be strong in yourself. You're supposed to be reliant upon God and upon your fellow believers This is a thing of unity. You think you're going to be the only bride that shows up at the end time? You think you're...
Jesus, it's just me and you.
No, Jesus is looking for a bride. What's that bride? The bride is the church acting together in unity, acting as one entity, worshipers of God. Am I being too harsh this morning? No. Please chastise me if I am. But there's too many of you that act like lone cowboys. And we don't know nothing about you and your walk with God. Shouldn't happen in the church. Shouldn't happen in the church. Not if you're really belonging to the church. Belonging to the church means I expose myself. I expose the things that I've learned about God. Why? So that I can build others up, so I can strengthen them in the examples that I have learned through my life. Seek to be seen and heard by God alone. Number two, Corey, lead them. Use limited speech that's heartfelt. Jesus says it right here. Don't keep on babbling like pagans. They think they'll be heard because of their many, many words. God already knows what you need before you ask him. But what he's looking for is, are you humble enough to say, God, I need your help. I can't handle this. I need your strength. I need your wisdom. I need your ability to proceed in these matters. I need to see things from a heaven perspective instead of from an earth perspective, because as I see things through an earth perspective, well, there's way too many things in the way. There's way too many impossibilities, but with you, Lord, nothing's impossible. Nothing. All things are possible through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Don't use babbling words like pagans. Use scripture. Yeah, God gave us this word not so that we'd use it before him like,
God, we're taking you to court today. In your word, you said.
Come on. It's not like you're trying to win some jurial battle with God. Trust me, you'll lose. I have every time. However, you do stand on the promises of God. And God needs to see that there are things in his word that we are truly standing on. God, you said you'd never leave me or forsake me. I'm feeling really alone right now.
Oh, you're feeling alone?
Yes, Lord, I'm feeling very, very alone right now.
Pick up the phone.
What do you mean, pick up the phone?
Call somebody.
What? What do you mean call? God, I'm talking with you right now.
Invite somebody out for coffee. Maybe go to lunch. If you're feeling alone, I've created
all sorts of people for you to interact with. But you are choosing to be by yourself. You're choosing to be by yourself. We have a lot of single older people in our church. Donna Lee just lost Roger. Phil, a year ago, lost his lovely wife, Ruth. Ken lost his only mother that he's known all his life. And I could name others who are feeling this vacuum of aloneness. I'm telling you, you don't need to feel alone. Look at this room. Is there just one other person you could connect with? Then you don't have to feel alone. And just because you're married doesn't mean that you don't feel alone. My wife says amen. That's why I brought her mom up. Just playing. I brought her mom up here because I was alone. And because we were getting too comfortable in being alone in ourselves. And we needed someone in our home to minister to. We love having you there, Mom. Why? Because Mom was alone. She's got brother, sister. She's got two sons. She's got grandchildren, people that are down in the valley that love her greatly. We took her away. We get her. But this then is how you should pray. This is Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. Brother Corey. In that prayer is just not supposed to be an empty-hearted recital of how Jesus taught us to pray. What that is a model for us to follow. Number one, we have to revere that God is in heaven, and we're not yet. And may his name be kept holy by the things that I do, by the things I say, by what I do with my life. May his name be kept holy. May his kingdom come soon. That kingdom is his rulership in your life. You're saying with that, may your kingdom come into my heart, my head now. That everything that I do, it's for you and your kingdom, Lord. It's not for building up Don's kingdom. It's for your kingdom. May your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Oh, my, my, my. And then give us, forgive us. But there's a little caveat to remember, isn't there? And the caveat to remember is what? Corey, lead them, please.
If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sin.
Woo! Man. That's a huge one to remember right there, folks. If you refuse to forgive others, Now, please notice it does not say, if you refuse to forget what others have done. God's not asking you to do that. But he is asking you to forgive others. You see, forgiveness means I am going to be released from the bondage of holding that prejudice against that person. You see, forgiveness is allowing yourself to be let go. Because as long as you hold something against that person, which that person may not even know that you've got anything against them. And though it is a very sacred act to be able to go to that person and say, you know what? I forgive you. And they look at you dumbfounded and go, what? For what? Well, my feelings got hurt, or I heard you say this, or you did this, and I thought this, and so I've held this against you all this time. And they look at you like you are some strange puppy. What? I did what? And all of a sudden you go, man, am I playing the fool right now? No, you're not. What you're doing is you are releasing that. Now, there are some people, honestly, that I would not want to come face to face and do that with. Can I hear an amen? However, I can still forgive them and mean it from my heart. Lord, man, they did me wrong. You know they did me wrong. Lord, you see everything. You know that wasn't right. And the Father goes, mm-hmm. But I'm not judging what they did. I'm judging what's your reaction to it. And my reaction's got to be, you know what, Lord? I want to forgive them. Though maybe they didn't run up to my expectations. Maybe they did something that, you know, I thought was just a little off. You know what that does? Man, it just takes that stuff off you. You no longer have to carry that around. If you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not what? He won't. See, as long as you keep holding on to stuff against other people, God won't forgive your sins. Who wants to walk around in those boots? Let him go, folks. Seek forgiveness. As forgiveness has been granted unto you, release those that you are holding things against. It only brings God glory. I'm going to close out with the worship team coming up. We're going to sing a song. You're created for more prayer. You're created for more intimacy with God. What is holding you back from being intimate with God? What is it this morning? Oh, is it your great wisdom in yourself? Is it your position in life? Is it who you think you've been made up to be? He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires. Notice, it's not a suggestion. It's what does the Lord require of you? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Let's be a church that forgives each other. Let's be a church that becomes intimate with God. We will see a greater move of God's presence in this church, when this church starts getting real, and that church is not a building, that church is you. When all of us start becoming more intimate with God and with each other, this church will multiply.